You ready?
Vancouver's favorite way to wake up.
I love their personalities. Just what I like. I think it's super funny. Love it.
I'm just going to have to undo my pants. We're getting
started. And those will all address Uranus.
One of the most popular morning radio teams in the business.
And Drew.
Nat Hunter and Drew Savage.
You can get arrested for driving nude.
Can you really?
Yes, of course you can.
Oh, note to self.
Hello, Cher Shandling.
Nat and Drew.
Optimus Prime with Nat and Drew.
Producer James Cameron.
Hey, Nat. Hey, Drew. How you doing?
I'm Sam Smith.
You're listening to Nat and Drew.
Good morning, Vancouver. I'm Kylie Rae Jepsen, and you're listening to The Nat and Drew Show.
Here's Nat and Drew.
Hey, thanks for downloading the Nat and Drew Show podcast. It's Nat, Drew, Aaron, and Joey on this January 17th, Blue Monday. Or as Nat likes to call it, a fake holiday.
Junk science. It's not real, but it's a thing.
We'll do a deep dive on the Blue Monday phenomenon, the quote-unquote most depressing day of the year, coming up on the podcast. Also, what fashion item is Oprah credited for bringing back, and hardballing? It's a new dating term. What exactly is hardballing? It's all ahead on the Nat and Drew Show podcast.
But first, as Drew mentioned, it's January 17th. Today would have been Betty White's 100th birthday. So in honor of this absolute legend, the Betty White Challenge is happening. This is where people are being asked to donate just even $5 to your favorite animal rescue. Somebody local that is, you know, doing a lot of work in animal rescue. Lots of great charities. Too many to mention right here, but you can go to our Facebook page or on Instagram. We've got a whole list. But Betty White at one point had 26 dogs.
That's I don't think I ever realized she had that many dogs at one time.
Yeah.
Like over a lifetime?
No.
For somebody who lived almost 100 years?
Sure.
I get that for somebody who loved dogs, but 26 at one time.
Yes. Now, for the average person that has an average size house, this is not a good thing to do. But it's Betty White, and she was famous and had the resources, and it was different, and she just kept taking in these animals and had a lot of help. So, you know, don't you take in 26 dogs, but be like Betty White and make a donation to your favorite animal charity to honor her memory.
So we thought this might be fun, too. We don't often kind of dig into the Nat and Drew Show archives, but we thought this would be fun in honor of Betty's 100th birthday. She was on the show several years ago. We had the opportunity to have Betty White on with us and spend about 10 minutes with her. It was in 2009, just as the movie The Proposal was opening in theaters, a movie that now Nat, like this, you think of this as being your favorite movie, but this was at a time where you hadn't even seen The Proposal.
No, I had. I'm so upset. I have so many questions that I could have asked her had I seen the movie, but I hadn't yet because it wasn't out. And I saw it, you know, later. And when I saw it, I watched it two times in a row. I loved it that much. I loved her in it. She's Betty White. She's amazing. But yeah, I'm trying to think how many times I've probably seen The Proposal. Yeah. But it's definitely like my favorite rom-com. You know, I'm not going to say it's a deep movie, but it's like definitely my favorite rom-com. A lot of fun.
So this was just as The Proposal was opening in theaters. Betty talks a lot about Ryan Reynolds, and she does refer to another famous woman who was his wife at the time. So you can tell this is from another time period because she's talking about a different wife. But anyway, for the celebrations around Betty White's 100th birthday, enjoy our conversation from 2009 with the legendary Betty White. Betty White is with us. Good morning, Betty.
Good morning. How are you doing?
We're well. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thanks for the invitation, and thanks for the plug for the movie. Appreciate it very much.
Well, I have to tell you, Betty, I have been dying for a really good chick flick. It seems like in theaters we've had some great movies that have come out, but we haven't really had a great chick flick, and they are my favorite genre of movie. So there better be a happy ending in this one.
Well, I tell you, not only a happy ending, but getting there is half the fun as well. The chemistry, we had the best time. It was like going to a party every day when we were making it, because the chemistry between everybody, we all thoroughly enjoyed each other, and the director, Ann Fletcher, was as nuts as the rest of us. So all we did was laugh and scratch, and I think the audience picks up on that vibe, whether, you know, it's not something that they're consciously aware of. But I think that makes it a happy. They go out feeling good. Mm-hmm.
Is your character Grandma Annie in The Proposal? Is she a raunchy grandma? Is she a nice kind of grandma? I mean, what kind of grandma is Grandma Annie?
Well, I've played so many grandmas. I've played sexy ones and bawdy ones. Well, not too sexy, bawdy maybe, and mean ones and funny ones. She's kind of underneath. She's kind of just a real nice lady. she's a little weird. She thinks she's a shaman, and she's dancing in the woods, singing an Eskimo song at one point. But she really wants to get these two people together, and she goes to great lengths to get it done.
Betty White is with us this morning. Her new movie is called The Proposal, which opens on Friday. She plays Grandma Annie. Now, Betty, you just said a couple moments ago how much fun everybody had, that, you know, everybody got along so well, which is so nice for a work environment. But I must ask, who had the most luxurious trailer? Who had the big demands? Was it you, Betty White?
Oh, yes. You know how demanding I am. Listen, I'm lucky if they let me have a chair in the corner. No, we are. But Sandra Bullock and Ryan Reynolds are such a delight to work with.
Well, this is Ryan Reynolds' hometown. He's from Vancouver. Was this your first time meeting Ryan? What did you think of working with him?
I had not met him before, but so often guys who look like he does, which is rather spectacular, and who his career is just on such an upbeat, he's just doing more and more, so often they have an attitude. Not Ryan, he's an absolute delight, but I got a little ticked off because in the middle of the movie, he married somebody else. Here I was, I'm single. I was right around, but he married another girl. I don't understand.
That's Scarlett Johansson. What does she have? Nothing on you. Now, there is a sort of a, it's famous, even though the movie's not out yet, but everybody's been talking about the naked scene that Ryan and Sandra do in this movie. Was that a closed set, or are you as one of their coworkers, are you kind of off to the side watching them film this comedic naked scene?
Were you sneaking a look at Ryan?
No, I got to tell you, of course it was a closed set, and I guess I could have been there if I wanted to, but I'm not a voyeur. That doesn't turn me on. Anything like that has to be on my own time.
Yeah.
But I must say that it's not a salacious scene. It's a funny scene,
yeah.
and it happens inadvertently, and I think it works.
I read something, and I just wanted to get your take on this to see whether this is true or whether this is just urban legend. Were you originally offered the role of Blanche, which Rue McClanahan played on the show?
Yes. They sent me the script for Blanche. And Jay Sandrich, who had directed most of the Mary Tyler Moore shows, was directing the pilot of The Golden Girls. And it was Jay, in his wisdom, who said, if Betty plays another neighborhood nymphomaniac, I mean, they're going to think it's Sue Ann Nivens all over again.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, why don't we switch them? Why don't we give Betty Rose? And I must say, I didn't know who Rose was at that point. And it was Jay who gave me the perfect platform. He said, she's not dumb, she's terminally naive maybe, but she's thinks so positively, never any double meanings, never any sarcasm, and she thinks of every word of its absolute true meaning. So, well, for instance, if you said I could eat a horse, she'd call the SPCA. So liberal-minded. But he set the character for me, and I'm eternally grateful to him. I had such a good time with it. And then Rue McClanahan took Blanche out into orbit where I never would have dared to go. And she made it so special.
Well, you were a fantastic quartet, really, the four of you. I mean, it's such a legendary show. And, I mean, a lot of your characters we all came to know and love. I mean, I loved Catherine Piper on Boston Legal. I thought you and James Spader together were so fantastic.
And you saw me commit murder and get away with it.
I loved you. I thought, well, yeah, you can't convict her.
I've been so blessed with wonderful writing. I mean, how do you luck into writing like Mary Tyler Moore and Golden Girls and Boston Legal, that's kind of abusing a privilege, I think, don't you?
Well, you had said that Rue McClanahan took the Blanche character into a whole other orbit that you never would have gone, but it seems lately, Betty, whenever you pop up on television, you say more and more outrageous things. Like, do you ever... We look so forward to seeing you on television because we never know what's going to come out of your mouth.
Well, you know what? That makes two of us. Sometimes my mental editor goes to sleep, but a lot of times the stuff is... I've kind of tried to get away from that because it's cliche for this character to say outrageous things. And it, the joke is over pretty soon. If you do it too often, it gets stale.
We know, I mean, acting obviously is a huge passion of yours. You've been in the business for years. Your other passion is animal welfare. And I just wanted to ask you really quickly if you, I remember seeing you be involved in the, I think it's the Gorilla Foundation with Coco?
Yes, with Coco. The Gorilla Foundation is the mountain gorillas in Africa. Mm-hmm. But Coco is also a great and dear friend, the signing gorilla. And gorillas are in such trouble on our planet that I do as much work for them as I can. And I've been with the Morris Animal Foundation for 40 years, and the gorilla, the Diane Fossey Gorilla Fund is part of what our work is.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've been with the Los Angeles Zoo for 40 years. So animals are my favorite thing.
Do you have pets?
I have a golden retriever who is doing this interview with me as we
speak. Nice. Well, I know we have to let you go. It's been wonderful to have you on. The proposal opens on Friday, and here's what I love. It's 2009, and the big box office battle this weekend for the number one movie is two movies. One stars Ed Asner. The other stars Betty White. The cast of the Mary Tyler Moore Show has never been hotter than it is in 2009.
Aren't you, dear? Thank you, Nat and Drew. Believe me, I appreciate it.
When you're choosing a profile picture for your social media account, what do you focus on? Do you like to have something that's really current? Or do you not really care how old it is, as long as it's a smoking good picture of you? What's the most important thing? Best possible picture of you, regardless of the age, or something that's current that reflects who you are today?
I'm kind of...
Your hair today, your taste today,
sure.
All of that stuff.
Yeah.
Trends today.
I don't go too old, but I know I haven't updated in a year.
So I was just going to ask, what's your definition of too old? So
yeah.
About, like, you try to have something within the last year?
Yeah. Well, I mean, year-ish. Like, my hair looks different now than it did in my picture, but my picture's from a year ago. But I'm not like, oh my gosh, now I have to change my photo. I used to, when Facebook first started, do you guys remember this? Like, I feel anyway that people were updating and changing their photos all the time, their profile
right.
photos.
Yeah.
That's become less of a thing, I think.
Big time, because we didn't know what we were doing back then.
Oh my gosh. No.
It was just like a fun new toy we were playing with all the time.
I got a Facebook memory of like one of my posts from 2008, and for some reason it was a Homer Simpson quote. Like, why would I have posted that? I know. Like, why would I have posted that? Because I didn't know what I was doing.
Clearly you weren't single at the time. You were paired up.
Yeah.
You do love The Simpsons, though.
But you know what? I need to do a real specific Facebook post for
fair
it.
Enough.
So it
fair enough.
It's embarrassing.
Even I haven't made share my profile pic.
Yeah.
I keep some of those things on the download.
Yeah.
It's interesting. So this poll was done in terms of how the question was simply, how old is your profile picture? And the answer was really surprising in terms of how old it is. For Aaron, for you, how old is your...
Oh, my God. I was just actually sitting here thinking, holy mackerel, like, I think it might be 10 years old.
I don't think it's 10, or do you still use, maybe you don't, I can't remember what your current profile pic is. I know my current profile pic is a picture we did when we were doing some pictures for the radio station. And so that was summer of 2019. So mine's like 3 years old, mm-hmm. or will
oh,
be
later this
year. Oh,
mine's from before. Mine's from our radio station before.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Joey, how old is your profile picture?
It's from December of 2020.
Okay, so a little over a year old. According
to, you guys.
According to this survey, the average profile picture is 6 years old.
Oh, wow.
Six years old. And that's people. That's self-reporting and people saying, yeah, mine's got to be about 5 or 6, 7 years old.
Mm-hmm,
and
yeah.
It's just because people don't care how old the picture is. They just want to look good. So if they've got a great picture of them from like 6 or 7 years ago, they just run with that.
Well, I also think, you know, depending on what app you're talking about, so Instagram, it's so tiny.
Yes.
Like, it doesn't really matter.
Yes.
The Facebook one is sort of the big one. Your Twitter one is pretty tiny as well. I mean, I don't use Twitter very often, but it's just, you know, I don't think, can you even click on it to make it bigger?
That's what I thought the reason was, not because it looks good, but because people are like lazy and they're like, whatever.
Well, people might not, maybe one of the reasons, but people just put it up and they just leave it and they never think about it again. I mean, that could be a part of it, but people also like a good picture. If they think Fair. They look good, if they chose a good picture 4, 5, 6 years ago, whatever it is, they might just be happy to ride it out because they don't, it's just like, hey, I like the way I look. And that's what's most important to people, mm-hmm. looking good in your profile pic.
So that's why, you know, if you've got your high school grad photo up.
Uh-huh.
That's fine. That's fine.
You're 18. I
yeah,
love it.
Yeah. I think you need to be more authentic. I know it's weird, social media being authentic or whatever, but I think there's some sort of limit, like where you just become a big liar. Like if it's too old, now you're just lying.
But you're not lying.
You're lying.
This is me.
Then
like
that's
me
date,
in the picture. It's not
date
a dating
it.
Profile.
I know, but you should still.
I think it's different if it's a dating profile and you're using something way outdated, but if you're just using it to share your news links on Facebook, mm-hmm. who cares?
I don't know.
How old it is.
I think if you're going to put up a Simpsons quote, you should
be authentic.
Be authentic. Exactly, Eric. Interesting report out that meat consumption in Canada is on the way down, particularly what kind of meat? Answers to shut them out. Emu.
Ostrich.
Elk.
Yes. Yeah. Are we another close? Exotic weird animal.
Alligator.
Yeah, alligator.
Are we
camel?
Camel. Oh, all those geez. Camel eaters.
Oh yeah. My gosh.
Wow. Beef. Beef consumption is apparently way down. A couple of reasons, according to this new report, is the cost of beef is a big one, and then also the environmental cost of beef, as more people are becoming aware. But it's not necessarily like a lot of people are replacing the beef with lentils. They're replacing it with chicken. So,
I think that makes sense, does it not, for the most part?
Sure. To the chicken, they're like, hey, hold up.
Yeah. What stop that trickle down.
Yeah. Have you tried a lentil?
Like
it's delicious.
Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be great if a bunch of chickens got together and opened a lentil stand?
We don't think you've explored lentils enough, guys. So, but yeah. Have you felt like, I mean, I just thought this was interesting. Do you feel like your meat consumption
Well,
has
when
changed?
when they say meat consumption is going down, do they give you a what it was before and what it is now? Like I typically have red meat about twice a week.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes it's less, I'm sure sometimes it's a little more. Probably roughs out to 2 meals a week is red meat. I don't feel like that's declined. I don't think that that's increased.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's just been what it's been for a long time now.
For you?
For me.
For you?
For me and my family.
Okay. So it's like you make a roast?
No. there might be some ground meat in like a pasta sauce, or
yeah.
if we make chili, we might, you know, grill some burgers or something like that. I'm not outside of the occasional holiday. I'm not doing a roast very often.
That used to be such a thing, though. Do you remember growing up? Like every Sunday,
yeah.
my
Sunday
mom would make
dinner.
Yeah, make a roast.
I did one this weekend.
Did
in the
you really?
Oh, yes.
Oh. I hated it so much. Like,
aww.
I really, truly did. And not because at that time I was a vegetarian, but because it was so dry. My mom, and I know she might be listening, love you, Mom, very British, a very British cook.
Mm.
So it was just, I didn't even know that beef could come in, like, you know, different degrees
soft
of
soft and juicy.
Yes. No idea.
No wonder why you think beef and lentils are interchangeable. You were eating leather as a child.
I think lentils are fantastic. Aaron, has your meat consumption changed? Your beef?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, because we do eat it. You know, we love red meat. Like for Steve and I, if we were going to do like a dinner, like a yummy special dinner, it would be a steak.
Mm-hmm.
But it's expensive.
Yeah.
So there's been a big change for us on that front.
Yeah.
Like it's a treat.
Mm-hmm.
I know, gross treat.
A gross bloody treat.
Have you
so
tried,
sorry.
Aaron, have you tried a lentil steak?
Mm.
You haven't
okay.
had steak
Hold on.
Until you've had a lentil steak.
Portobello mushroom steak.
Oh, even yummier.
I think those are just called portobello mushrooms.
Oh.
You're mashing the mushroom up into the shape of a New York strip steak?
No, you
it's just a portobello mushroom.
Just, you grill it like it's delicious. Like it's
oh,
steak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just when you
yeah.
cut through that.
I know. I know.
I like mine medium rare.
I know for some of you that you call that a steak topper.
Exactly.
Joey, I just assume that you just eat handfuls of red meat every day.
Yeah, that's right. Just ground beef. I just fry it up and eat it with my bare hands.
Do you put any sauce on it?
Yeah, like the can of that manwich stuff.
Ah, it's
nice.
Good.
Yeah.
Smash it in. Yeah.
You know what?
That's only for like a treat day, though.
You could put lentils in that manwich sauce.
You know what, Joey? Your birth certificate may say that you're 30 now, but I still think your 20-something game is very, very strong. You're young at heart.
Time to go back. It's Nat and Drew's Retro News.
Taking a look at pop culture events that happened on this day in years past. January 17th, 1977, McDonald's introduces their breakfast menu.
However you make your living, breakfast at McDonald's gives your day a great beginning.
Yes! Oh, yes. I wanted that to go on.
We wanted to, where were the other 25 seconds, Joey? We wanted the entire 30-second commercial.
Very happy.
Yes.
So the breakfast menu included hotcakes, sausage, egg McMuffin, scrambled eggs, hash brown, Danish, coffee, and OJ. So before that, I guess McDonald's did not serve coffee.
Isn't that wild? And where did the Danish go? That didn't last. Like everything else, I think, is still there. But the Danish kind of vanished.
I wonder if the Danish was more an American thing. Like, I feel that we don't, I mean, we sell Danishes in Canada, but it's not necessarily a big, as much of a breakfast food here as I think it is in the States.
Yeah, I don't know. Cinnamon buns are big. Like, I know that's not exactly a Danish, mm-hmm. but it's still like that baked good.
Should this be a thing that we try to get back? Bring back the Danish?
Yay! Yeah. I love a cause.
Yeah, this is a really noble cause, guys.
If I were to ask you, who was the winner of the most watched season of American Idol ever, would you ever in a million years guess it was...
Taylor Hicks!
Taylor Hicks. Taylor Hicks, Soul Patrol. Soul Patrol.
Yeah.
He was the guy who won season 5 of Idol. Season 5 premiered on this day in 2006. It was the highest rated season of the show ever, averaging 30.6 million viewers per episode. Not only was Taylor Hicks a part of that season, Chris Daughtry, Catherine McPhee, Kelly Pickler also introduced on Idol that year.
Looking up Taylor Hicks's net worth.
Yeah.
he getting a cut of those 30 million?
Yeah. According to celebritynetworth.com, which
very, very accurate website.
Which I always believe. Yeah. He has a net worth of $1 million.
That is.
So he owns a house.
Yes.
Which is more than I thought.
Yes, but no, I mean, he owns a house, he probably works a job, he has a mortgage. He's like the average person in Metro Vancouver. Yes.
I wonder what he does, though.
Sells insurance.
He looked like he was 45 when he was 27.
Yeah.
He looked like he was selling insurance back then.
I want to say, oh, this was pre-pandemic. It's got to be at least 3 years ago, maybe 4 years ago. I was in Everett, Washington, which is just north of Seattle.
Yes.
There's a small arena there that does a lot of shows. And I want to say, next to the arena, there's a theater that plays even smaller shows. I have a vague memory of there being a Taylor Hicks poster.
Wow.
So I think he actually might still sing and do gigs.
Sure.
I want to say that 3 or 4 years ago, he had a gig in Everett, Washington.
If you go to TaylorHicks.com, there's a new single. There are two dates. And you can book him.
There you go.
He had a residency in Vegas in 2012, apparently.
What?
There you go.
Well, he's much more successful than we thought.
He didn't give up.
No.
Good for him.
Soul Patrol keeps on rolling. Good for you, Taylor Hicks. Don't let us take you down.
No.
Let us be jerks to you. No. Keep rocking it out there.
And finally, on this date in 1998, Dennis Rodman was fined $25,000 and suspended indefinitely for kicking a cameraman in the crotch. The 11-game suspension would cost him at least $1 million, and then he also agreed to pay the cameraman $200,000. I believe this is, we don't always get these things, but I believe we actually do have audio of the incident.
Ow, stop, really seems like he went after that. that poor camera guy repeatedly.
I think it was just one kick, but it just really hurt.
Did a lot of damage.
New dating term for you. We've got lots of dating terms. We know ghosted. That's been a thing that's been around for quite a while. Mosted. Do you know mosted?
Mosted.
Mosted is when somebody lays it on thick, more or less convincing you that you're the one, then ghosts you. So you've been mosted.
So there is still ghosting involved.
Yes.
Okay,
yeah.
Gotcha.
There's the submariner that will pop back up once in a while. Like, though they kind of ghosted you, but they're like, they submarine.
Right.
Kind of, they're,
like, they're go away for a while. Then
worst
pop
kind.
Back up.
Yeah. Worst kind.
Or the orbiter, which is that somebody that ghosted you and then never makes meaningful contact again, but follows every single one of your Instagram stories.
Ew!
I love it when a bunch of married people go deep on dating terms.
I know.
really like feeling up to date on the lingo.
Well, you know what? You can. We all dated. So yes.
Once upon a time.
Yes. We've all dated, so we're all experts in a way.
Yeah.
You know what? I feel like I'm trying to remember what dating terms existed when I dated. I know
going steady.
Going steady. Going steady, bad breakup. I'm trying to think.
Page me.
Rebound.
Page me. On my beeper.
It was a different set of terms. They're much more clever now.
Yes.
They're much more clever.
But
so,
Drew, I mean, surely you remember the feelings. They haven't changed.
Of being ghosted.
The orbiter, the submarine. I mean, different names. Same feeling.
Yeah, but you got to have the branding. Like, it's really the branding that nails these things home.
Was the orbiter back in the day somebody then, because there was no social media, so you couldn't just, you know, creep on Instagram stories. Was the orbiter somebody that would just, like, creep you at the mall? Like, where you
that's
were
right.
like,
drive
you know,
by your house on their bike.
Drive by, yeah, that's
behind
right.
the hedge.
That's right. You know, so, stalker.
Really kicking it old school.
Yeah. Okay, well, the new term is hardballing. Hardballing.
Well.
So, do you guys want to guess what hardballing is?
Are they trying, somebody's trying to play hardball with you, driving a hard bargain, it's my way or the highway?
you're not wrong. You're not like, you're in the wheelhouse for sure.
Okay.
Anyone want to try to narrow it down a little bit more?
Firm definitions of what the relationship's going to look like.
Yeah. With their hardballing is laying your expectations out right at the beginning.
Yeah.
People are tired of game playing, apparently. People are slow relationships. That's a new thing that's sort of more happening. People have decided that, you know, like, I think partly because of the pandemic and not wanting to rush in and meeting new people and getting intimate with new people right away. So there's been that. But then the idea of, because dating apps now have been around for quite a while, and, you know, the like the bouncing back and forth and people swiping and like non-commitments and all this stuff, a lot of daters are tired, so now they're hardballing. I'm going to tell you what my expectations are, and if you're scared, that's too bad. I don't care. I'm moving on.
So love that's it. Interesting, because it feels like hardballing really only exists if you are saying, I'm looking to try to find a life partner, as opposed to somebody who's playing hardball and say, I just want to have fun.
Yeah, I want to hook up.
Feels
I'm
like
really
hardballing is really only about one firm set of definitions and not all forms of definition.
No.
Yeah.
But because I don't think anybody that just is on a dating app to just hook up is really complaining. Do you know what I mean? Mm. Like, those people are having no problem. Like, my friend Chris, he's recently single, and he's like, I'm trying to date, and wow, everybody just wants to hook up. And it's like, it's a little bit intimidating for him, who's been in a relationship for a really long time.
Mm.
And so I don't think you are...
He doesn't feel like it's Mardi Gras?
Because
he's actually finding it intimidating.
He's a very sensitive guy.
Okay.
Aww.
Yeah, he's like, I'm not sure. I just want all these hookups.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think he's had a few, and now he's...
Yeah.
And now he's like, I would kind of, you know, maybe would like to slow it down a bit. But his experience is that's not been the case. So maybe there is a place, it's a small place online, where there are some hardballers out there that want, you know, a slow relationship, like a slow build.
Cool. Okay.
Drew wants to live vicariously through all the single people.
Boring.
He's like, why would you want that?
Imagine being at a place where you're bored of all the hookups.
Well, they're empty. They can be empty, Drew.
Empty, right, right. Just like one chocolate bar after another. Who wants that?
If you needed to take a mental health day from work, which so many of us have, I think, embraced more than ever before. Like, before, you would kind of maybe like lie about why you were taking some time off of work. But if you needed to take a day, what do experts say is the best day of the week
to take that day.
Oh.
There's actually a day that some psychologists agree upon would be a better day than others.
I have a question. I'll save it as a follow-up question once we solve the answer to what the day of the week is. I have another question related to taking a mental health day.
Okay.
But let's focus on what day is the best.
Yes. Did you want to guess?
I'm going to just assume it's best to try to create a long weekend, assuming we're talking about a Monday to Friday work week here.
Mm-hmm.
And psychologically, I actually believe Mondays are the better days to take off than Fridays.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go with Monday.
Does everybody agree with that?
No.
Aaron, why not?
I think midweek, because it shouldn't be a long weekend, right? If it's a mental health day from work, it needs to be right in the middle of that work week.
Now, are you talking about when you say it's a mental health day from work? So it's got to be midweek. Is that because you want to have shorter bursts of work, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday? Or do you think there has to be a strategy involved into when you use that day so other things aren't suspected?
No, I mean, I think you should say it's a mental health day when you take it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I just think, like, if it is to get a break from work, then make it a break from work.
Got it. Okay.
So as opposed to, like, connecting it to a weekend.
Gotcha.
So we've got Drew with Monday, Aaron with Wednesday. Joey, do you agree?
Yeah, Wednesday was exactly my guess, too, because it breaks up your week and it feels like you get this little like lull in the week and it's just perfect.
Okay. So interesting, because the psychologists that were asked in this article on the Huffington Post said that a lot of people do think Wednesday for all the reasons you guys have said. And actually, Wednesday's not the best day.
Okay.
And the reason being is you don't really get away from work. Wednesday, you're kind of, you know, particularly if you're somebody who has been working from home, then like the emails are coming in and that sort of thing. Mm. Wednesday kind of feels too much like you're in the midst of work.
Mm.
It is better to do a long weekend. It is better to do a Monday than a Friday.
Good one, Drew.
Friday feels like a lot of sort of activities and things going on. You can get kind of your errands and everything done Saturday, Sunday. Monday, you're supposed to focus on your mental health.
Mm.
And then the idea being that, as they also said, I don't know if this is going to answer a question that you're going to throw out, but I'll just tell you that like that's not about binge watching Netflix and things like that if you're taking a mental health day. The idea is that you do something for self-care. And they feel, in this article anyway, that Mondays, psychologically, people could get their head around that. Friday, not so much. But Mondays, you could. Things have slowed down a little bit over the weekend. You can do, you know, meditation, yoga, things like that, going for walks, not binge watching Netflix.
My follow-up question had something that just we alluded to in the conversation with Erin a moment ago in terms of her choice on Wednesday. Are we at the point, and I mean this in all seriousness, because I really do hope we are. Are we at the point where you can call in and say, I need a day for self-care, and say that to your boss, as opposed to saying, I've got the sniffles, I'm not feeling 100%. Can you, because if you were having cold or flu symptoms or something like that, you might just say that.
Yes.
Do we still feel, because this has been a whole evolution around mental health, right?
Sure,
like, certainly 10 years ago, you wouldn't have had as many people comfortable saying it.
No.
I hope we're at the point we can say, I need a self-care day.
Mm-hmm.
Or are we still at a point where people feel like they have to mask that by saying it's something else?
I don't know. I think that's a good question. I think that's probably going to depend on your employer.
Yeah,
I mean, that's what I was going to say, too, because with Skylar's job, like they have mental health days and sick days, and they're separate.
Oh,
and so
cool.
He can just say, I'm going to take a mental health day today. And then they say, okay, great. We'll see you tomorrow. I'll see you and whatever.
And he's our CMP.
He's our CMP, yeah. So they have like designated like mental health day. So you just, you know, you just say, today I need a mental health day. And they have so many designated for
that's great.
Year.
Well, I mean, we have Bell Let's Talk, which is actually happening next week.
Mm-hmm.
So Do we get to take that day off?
No.
Oh.
You could if you need it.
Okay. Thank you.
I guess.
Thank you.
It's not an internal holiday, though.
Okay.
It's about creating awareness.
Got it.
We have to be here to help create the awareness.
Right.
But at least somebody has to be here.
Yeah. But I would think, like, you know, for a company, like, if any company is going to say that, you can take a mental health day, it better be ours.
Yeah.
By the way, Bella's Talk Day is happening next Wednesday.
Now, here's the scoop.
Well, disappointing news if you had been holding on to your tickets to see Celine Dion. Celine's been having some back problems, and her recovery is taking longer than expected, so she has decided to cancel the upcoming dates
on her North American tour, including a show that was set for Rogers Arena on March 29th. That was a show that was originally scheduled to take place before the pandemic. I think she got a couple of dozen shows into the tour at that point before the pandemic hit. And then the tour dates just kept getting pushed back and back and back. So March 29th was the most recent scheduled date for Vancouver, but now that's off completely, so if you still have tickets, you can expect refunds on that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's disappointing. Like, if you've been holding on to concert tickets for 3 years, mm-hmm. hoping that you were finally going to, and now it's just altogether canceled, but I get health problems. Her own personal health is playing more of a role here than COVID itself.
Sure, sure. But does this mean, so Celine Dion, you've been holding on to those tickets, does Celine Dion owe you money? Like, not just the money for the tickets, but interest?
Clearly.
You want interest from Celine Dion?
Well, I don't even have tickets, but if you have Celine Dion tickets, do you want your money back plus some interest? Celine? Celine Dion? Rich Celine Dion? Do you owe some people some interest?
What do you think the annual rate of return should be on that?
I don't know.
4%? 5%? 12%?
Buck or two?
90%?
Yeah.
Yeah. What seems fair to you?
Class action lawsuit?
You always want a class action lawsuit.
I do.
You are big into that.
I do. I really, you know, I think it was after watching Aaron Brockovich.
Now, Justice for All.
Justice. I just thought that, you know, I could get behind something.
Yeah. Didn't that
do your research?
Yes.
She did her research.
Didn't that happen? Was the Aaron? Am I remembering this correctly? Aaron Brockovich had more to do with a poisoned water supply.
Bad drinking water. Yeah. Different than not getting your concert. It's slightly different. Well, this took longer, maybe in some respects, than some people thought it would. But Kanye West has now officially threatened Pete Davidson, at least in song. Kanye, or I guess Ye. Or Ye, what are we calling him now? He released a new song, and it's called Easy.
God save me from that crash, just so I could beat Pete Davidson's ass.
Who? Who's that?
I love that little bit at the end. Let's hear that again.
God save me from that crash, just so I could beat Pete Davidson's ass.
Who? We all know who Pete Davidson is, particularly your ex-wife.
And certainly you know who he is, too.
If you're singing about
Kanye.
Him.
Yeah. Don't pretend that nobody knows who Pete Davidson is. Everybody knows who Pete Davidson is because we've all dated him. So we all know who Pete Davidson is.
It's Nat and Drew's $1,000 Minute.
Brought to you by Alpine Credits, where homeowners get approved.
Christine is going to kick off her Monday morning with an extra $1,000 in her pocket, hopefully. Good morning, Christine.
Good morning, Nat. How are you?
We're good. How are you doing?
I'm okay. Nervous.
Nervous? Okay. Christine. What's there to be nervous about?
Oh, anytime you could win money, it's always nerve-wracking.
If you won the $1,000... What do you have it earmarked for?
Well, I'm taking my cat in to get spayed today, so it'll go to the vet.
Oh, yeah, the vet's always expensive.
Yeah, she's not a happy girl right now. She hasn't been fed.
She's like, you're doing what? We're doing what later today? Huh?
I don't even get breakfast.
This is the worst. Well, hopefully there's a little bit of money left over, so you can treat yourself as well as, I guess, treating your cat to her spay appointment.
Yes.
Christine, 1 minute on the clock. We'll ask you 10 questions. You get all 10 right, the $1,000 is yours. If not, $10 for each correct answer you give us. If you don't know the answer to something, say pass, and if there's time, we'll come back to it. The moment you give us an answer, it counts. You can't take it back.
Okay.
Good luck, Christine. Here we go. $1,000 minute starts right now. If you were
born.
Name a real estate company that starts with the letter R.
RE/MAX.
Professor McGonagall and Professor Snape, both characters from what series?
I know it, but pass.
What lower mainland city is home to Crystal Falls?
Pass.
What's a baby kangaroo called?
A Joey.
Betty White would have turned what age today?
100.
What service does the company Orkin provide?
Orkin, pest removal.
Name one of the four national languages of Switzerland.
French.
What actress was in the movies Jerry Maguire and Chicago?
Renee Zellweger.
What animal is the Cheetos mascot?
A tiger.
Professor McGonagall and Professor Snape, both characters from what series?
Oh, God, pass. Why can't I think of that?
What lower mainland city is home to Crystal Falls?
Coquitlam.
Professor McGonagall and Professor Snape are from?
Oh, God, I know it. Harry Potter.
Oh.
The buzzer beat you.
But, okay. Because that would be terrible if you got everything else right. Because Harry Potter is right, but it was after the buzzer. The only other question you answered incorrectly was the Cheetos question. Not a tiger, a cheetah.
Oh, of course.
And they're two different animals.
Cheetah for Cheetos.
Yeah, okay. So, oh, well, that's better than missing Hogwarts, which I know because I've read all the books and watched all the movies.
$80, Christine.
Woo!
Well done.
Nicely done.
Well, according to a new poll, I guess depending on how you look at this, this could be, I don't know, kind of unfortunate. But at the same time, I think it's the results of this poll are being overblown by some in some regions. So the idea is, the question was asked of Canadians, do you feel like regardless of what precautions you are taking, it is inevitable that you contract COVID-19, specifically Omicron? No matter what you do, you are going to get it. And 55% of those who responded in this Angus Reid poll, it was done between January 7th and 10th, said, yeah, no matter what I do, I'm going to get it.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that necessarily means that just because you believe it's probably inevitable that you're going to get it means that you're stopping, you're no longer going to follow health protocols and just suddenly show up maskless in a mosh pit.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I think that's the big concern, though, isn't it? I mean, that's the big concern with these surveys and those attitudes is that people eventually will. If you give up, then...
But
you
I think
will drop your defenses.
But I think there is a difference, and there wouldn't be for some, Aaron, I agree with you, but it, like, I've always felt from the beginning, it's only a matter of time before I get this thing. But that doesn't mean that I'm not doing the things that I'm supposed to be doing. Like, I feel like there's a difference in being honest and saying, yeah, there's probably, especially now more than ever, a good chance that I'm going to get this thing. So it's probably inevitable. But that doesn't necessarily mean that I'm giving up the fight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. You know, I've heard sort of kind of both. I've heard like what you're saying, and I've also heard what, you know, Aaron is saying, that, you know, some people are feeling like they're like, I've certainly heard, you know, anecdotally that some people, because of the way maybe their homework situation is right now or their life balance is right now, they'd rather just get it and get it over with. Like, I feel that that sentiment is out there, which experts would tell you is really wrong, because it is not just like you're really rolling the dice, and not that you're necessarily actively trying
to get it, yeah.
But that some people are like, maybe that is subconsciously kind of seeps in a little bit, I guess, to some people, if they think that, you know, I'd rather just kind of get it and get it over with. Mm-hmm. Do you subconsciously become a little less careful? And I think that's a real danger. I don't know whether, you know, I kind of go back and forth. Like, I just really hope I don't get it ever. Mm-hmm. But I think because we don't have kids that are in school, or kids that I know of anywhere. Yeah. I think, you know, my risk, Brett's risk is a lot lower, but I feel for people, if you've got kids in school and in-school learning is really important, we keep hearing how important it is, like, it's really hard. Like, Drew, you've got kids that are in school.
Yeah.
Aaron, you've got kids that are in school. Like, there's just more risk out there.
We had this conversation this weekend, though, because I did get COVID. I'm the only person in the family that did. Steve's had his third booster. The girls will hear about their boosters this week. Mm-hmm. And we had this conversation this weekend, and I was like, don't give up. Like, mm-hmm. you've got just a couple more weeks until, you know, you've got your third booster, and like, you don't have to get it. You don't have to get COVID. Like, wouldn't that be amazing?
Mm-hmm.
You're actually the second family in recent days that I've heard of, Aaron, where, because despite all of the talk, and like, absolutely, Omicron is the most contagious by far of any of the variants, but if you still do follow the rules, you can be the only person in your family that gets it. Because I know of another family, a family of five, and it was one person in the family who got it, and that was it. Because
yeah.
it was like strict isolation within the house, and da 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 da. They followed all the rules, and only the one person got it. It was not a fait accompli that everybody else in the family got it.
It's a lonely, lonely thing, though, that isolation. I do want to stress
Did they
that.
Tape you into a room?
They basically did. They went all Station 11. Yeah. There was duct tape everywhere.
You're like, that's it. Yeah. Big X on the door.
Totally.
Sliding flat foods underneath the door crack. Here's a Pop-Tart.
Yeah, one pancake at a time. Here comes the food.
Are you ready to re-embrace a fashion item from days gone by? The fashion item is the jumpsuit. The jumpsuit seems to have made a comeback. And what's kind of put this in the conversation in recent weeks is that Oprah has been wearing lots of jumpsuits on her Instagram videos that she's been posting. Her latest the videos aren't about jumpsuits at all, but they're all anybody winds up talking about. After she posts these new videos, her latest had her cleaning out her fridge in order to reset her diet for 2022. But all people were talking about was the cozy blue jumpsuits that she is wearing in the video while she's holding leftovers of Gayle King's birthday cake. Nobody's talking about the fancy birthday cake. Everybody's talking about the cozy blue jumpsuit, which apparently retails for about $400.
So it's so funny because I was fascinated by the cake. She pulled basically more than half a cake out of her fridge and just dumped the whole cake into the garbage. That was what fascinated me. I'm like, that's more than half a cake. And it looks like a really delicious cake. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like a cake tort thing going on. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, she just... I don't know, maybe for the shock value, literally just put the whole thing in the garbage.
So is this a result of the jumpsuit is back? And I'm sure they're not velour, but they do have that very soft fabric, fuzzy fabric look to them. The one that that Oprah's wearing in this and others that she has worn. Apparently they're all from the same company. Rivet Utility is yes. the name of the company. So that's where all of her jumpsuits come from. So she's been wearing them a lot. But again, she's not specifically, endorsing them. That's just what she's been wearing. So is this just an extension of pandemic life? You know, we have, everybody's been home for so long now, and now people are trying to find new innovations in soft, comfy clothes. And so the jumpsuit is now back in?
Well, no, but this is interesting that there's literally magazine articles about the jumpsuit making a comeback because the jumpsuit has actually been back for several years now. So it's been probably, I mean, I found
it. Has it been? Yeah. I don't feel like I see anybody wearing jumpsuits.
I wear jumpsuits, Drew. I wear jumpsuits not that often to work, but when we went our last, vacation where we took listeners with us, which was January 2020, I had jumpsuits.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. I have about five jumpsuits in my closet.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's a thing, Drew.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a thing.
Yeah. You just.
But the cozy stuff, like there's a picture of her also in a more like sweat material jumpsuit. Mm-hmm. I think that, and even the one that you said there, it's corduroy, the one that she's wearing, but it's like such fine corduroy, it looks like fleece.
Yeah. Gotcha. Okay.
I think you're onto something there, though. I think that they were sort of more high fashion, actually, the jumpsuits, weren't they not? Like more sleek.
Yeah. Because I remember putting a jumpsuit on for the first time, probably like the first time since not being a kid.
Exactly.
Like in 2015 or 2016, thinking, I'm not sure whether this is going to look good, but they were sleeker. And I'm like, oh, this actually, I like this, which I was a little surprised. These ones do look more comfy, but then there's also sort of thing about wearing your pajamas out, and they're kind of a weird sort of like onesie jumpsuit pajama kind of thing going on.
Bit so, smash and test here in Vancouver.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great reference.
Do you layer that clothes on top of your jumpsuits? I'm trying to figure out how I haven't noticed in 5 years that you're wearing jumpsuits.
Because sometimes,
you do.
Yes.
Okay, maybe that's why I'm not noticing, because Nat does dress in layers because she gets cold easily.
That's right.
So maybe I'm missing them because I think you're wearing pants, but they're not pants.
Sometimes
part of a jumpsuit, but the top half is completely covered.
And under poncho.
And under five sweaters and a poncho. So maybe that's why I haven't noticed the jumpsuits.
I swear I wasn't wearing sweaters in a poncho when we were in Mexico.
I don't know. It might have been a breezy 22 degrees that day. That could be a little chilly. Here we are mid-January. If your New Year's resolutions are still intact, or maybe just your hopes and dreams. Maybe they're not officially New Year's resolutions. Maybe they're just general thoughts.
Yeah, you just had some ideas.
Yeah.
You're still workshopping.
Putting them out there.
Yeah.
putting them out there. Certainly January is typically, you know, the time of the year where the most people focus on weight loss. There is a type of meal, though, that has been identified in new research as being a kind of meal that you should avoid if you are looking to stick to a diet, meaning that we drastically underestimate how much caloric damage we are doing to ourselves when we partake in these kinds of meals.
Salads.
Yes, Nat.
Is it salads?
No.
Oh, okay. Because no. I would really like that to be on the list.
Well, salads can be. I mean, this is like old, old news. It all depends on what you put in the salad.
Mm-hmm.
Salad loaded with bacon bits and ranch dressing, probably not very low-cal.
You know what I always loved? Sorry, Aaron?
If you put a like a Big Mac on top of it.
Sure. That, I
that
was,
helps, too.
I always liked the salads that came in a bread bowl. I always thought, when did those stop being a thing?
I don't remember salads in a bread
you
bowl.
You could get salads in a bread bowl.
Really?
Yeah, Joey knows. He's like, oh,
And then you eat the bowl.
Yeah, and it was so good.
I've done chowder that way. I don't think I've ever done a salad that way before.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, sometimes you sort of, I would eat around the salad and eat the bowl.
Well, if you know of a place where we can get a good salad in a bread bowl, I'd like to know about it, to jump on this phenomenon. But it's not salad. It's again, under the caveat of it's, you don't do this as much right now. But even if you're getting together with a small group of people, even if it is only like maybe another couple and you're having them over or something like that, you will do share plates sometimes. Mm. Or if you're going to restaurants, and share plates are a gateway to underestimating how much you are eating.
Yes.
This published in the Journal of Consumer Psychology, it's a lack of ownership in our brains. If we have our own portion of something, we have a better idea exactly how much we're eating than if there are just bags, bowls, and plates that we're all grazing from. And generally, we underestimate by 20 to 22% per shared plate or bowl that we're eating from.
I think that's almost low. I think, you know, if you don't put what you're going to eat on your plate and just kind of pick from things, I think the possibilities there are endless. The possibilities for damage are endless. So yeah, I am not surprised by that. I'm disappointed. It's not salads, but some good info there. But I haven't done a share plate in a while. The only thing that I will share from these days is Brett's, when we order,
and fries.
His fries. Oh, and he gets so angry.
Well, yes, as he should. Order your own fries. What's the problem?
How many fries can you take? We had talked about this before.
Zero.
Three.
No, it's zero.
It's three.
I think it's more like 10.
Oh, no.
It's zero.
Joey?
I think you get one. If you have one, you get to try it, and then that's it. You don't get any more than that.
You get depending on where you're eating, you might get one if it falls out of the bag and you notice it at the bottom of the bag. You might get those if you don't want to order. If you want to be responsible and not have your own fries, you might have to scour the bottom of the bag. But, like, be a grown-up. Order your own fries.
Isn't it size-dependent? Like, if it's a large order of fries, doesn't that mean you could get a few more than what you guys are saying? Aaron's saying three.
Why don't you just order a small fry?
I don't know, because sometimes where we're ordering from, it's just, you know, it's a place like Earl's or whatever, and they just come once.
And
it's a classy place, and they come in their own little container that's usually stainless steel.
Stainless steel that I just throw out.
The standard order size, so in a standard, more controlled order size, you still think you're entitled to 10 of the French fries.
I think some places give us a really large amount of fries. I think it depends on the fries. I would say between 5 and 10.
Mm.
How many calories is that? Am I blowing my budget?
I don't think it's calories. I think it's crimes against humanity. Stealing other people's fries, that's the issue.
Now, here's the scoop.
Well, today would have been Betty White's 100th birthday.
By the time I got to high school, the kids had made up this really mean nickname for me just because I had hairy legs.
What'd they call you?
Rose with the hairy legs.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, so sweet, so awesome.
So today, to honor Betty White, this was brought up on social media, you know, shortly after her passing. The idea is that on January 17th, if everybody could make a donation, a $5 donation to an animal charity, in their area. We have put up a list both on our Instagram and the Nat and Drew Show Facebook page. There's a ton of them out there. Some wonderful organizations. I know we could not, we didn't get to all of them, but pick your favorite. Make at least a $5 donation today in memory of Betty White, who was a huge animal advocate. And at one point in her life, she said she had 26 dogs.
Oh, wow.
She had just rescued and taken in. And yeah, she's like, at one point, I just found myself with 26 dogs. And so, you know, be more like Betty. Yeah. You don't have to have 26 dogs. Not saying that. Because, you know, that's...
Please
don't. That's really hard for the average person to do. So don't become a hoarder. But like a $5 donation today. Like, how cool is that?
Very sweet way to honor an icon. Really, an entertainment icon over the last century. NBC is doing a, I think it's a two-hour tribute show that's going to air tonight to Betty White, who would have turned 100 years old today. In other scoop news, have you heard that Netflix is raising their prices? The standard plan is going up by $1.50 a month. The premium plan, $2 a month. Prices are effective. The new prices take effect immediately for new subscribers, but I guess they're going to be rolled in gradually depending on what your anniversary date is and stuff. So at some point in the coming months, you'll see an increase on your Netflix subscription if you already have one.
It's Boo!
Well, because the premium plan, that's $21 a month.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think we're getting to the point just with so many services out there, you know, cord cutting once upon a time was supposed to be a way to save money.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that way anymore.
Mm-mm.
Between the internet service that you're paying for so you can get the streaming services, and now between Netflix and Crave and Disney and Apple and Amazon Prime and Tubi and whatever else is out there.
Don't forget Stack and BritBox.
There you go, Aaron. Yeah. So like, there's a bunch.
What is Tubi?
Oh, I think Fox owns that one.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And there's Paramount Plus, and like, there's just so many of them that if you have, it's going to be at the, I think at a point where people are going to start cutting the streaming services now. And maybe, I don't know, depending on what your favorite shows are, like maybe you save a certain time of the year to be your Apple time or another time of the year to be your Crave time or like however it works.
Mm-hmm.
Will people start getting a little more strategic about swapping in and out with what services they're subscribing to?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I didn't know about Tubi. We do, I feel like we do the main ones. So we do Crave, Netflix. We don't have Disney Plus anymore.
What?
It's not for me. It's not. There's not much on it. And if there's something that I want to
Ice Age?
Ice Age. Ice Age 2?
Come on. All of the Ice Age.
Sing?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, it's just, I feel like it's, again, not for me. It's for some people. It's not for me.
Today, January 17th, is Blue Monday. No, not New Order Appreciation Day, although that would be fun. I'd be down with that. Blue Monday, the supposed most depressing day of the year. It was created in 2005.
It was created. So, you know, that sounds like science. It was created by a travel agency.
A psychologist announced that it was the perfect storm of all the kind of...
Because a travel agency hired the psychologist to say it's true.
No,
it's
bad weather, debt.
It's junk science. It is, but they have.
Matt only likes designer science.
No, I like science.
Highfalutin science.
I like science. Yeah. No, I think they've sort of said that there's no specific, this is the worst day of the year, but it became like a catch-all, like the Blue Monday thing. But Aaron, you're right, that this is like generally a harder time of the year.
It was easy junk science to sell because it tracks.
Yeah.
The idea that mid-January is a gloomy time with not a whole lot to look forward to.
Sure.
For sure, that makes sense.
Yeah, and a Monday and depending on where you live in the world, it makes sense for us here in Canada for January to be terrible. But if you're in Australia, is it Blue Monday in Australia? I doubt it because it's summer there. You know what I mean?
Wouldn't that be interesting? Blue Monday in Australia is probably like July 19th.
Yeah.
Yes.
July 19th.
So
it's inversion.
So it's more about sort of what the weather's doing and just following the holidays and debt is high and all that stuff. But yeah.
It's the most terrible time of the year with bills arriving and smiles.
We only practiced one line.
Trying to freestyle. Trying to freestyle. It didn't work out. Hey, did we mention it's New Order Appreciation Day? How does it feel? Okay, maybe we
catch the Nat and Drew Show weekday mornings from 5:30 to 10.
Move 103.5.